Happy Thursday. Yep, happy Thursday. I'm still fucking sulking over that 40 to 22 ass whooping from Sunday, because that's what sports fans do. They just keep it in, you know, they hang on to it. It upsets them. It really drives them up a fucking wall. And that's where we're at, guys. I'm just fucking depressed about it. So you're probably going to keep hearing this kind of sad tone, I guess. You know, I got a question for the audience. I got a question for the subscribers. I got a question for all of you. Excuse me. I've been down in some Mountain Dew Baja Blast as well, because I fucking hate myself right now. And I just want to continue down this path of just sulking, because that's what we do. We're sports fans. So the question is this. How many of you out there have had this experience that I'm having right now, where you watch a sporting event. Now, I know I have pretty good European audience, so for you guys it would be soccer, but for over here in America, it's football, basketball. It's kind of in that area. And I'm sure Canada is hockey is the main one. So, as a fan of a sport, when your team loses the big game, what do you do to like decompress? How do you do this? You know, because you invest an entire season into this, and it just doesn't happen. You watch it unfold in a terrible way, and it just is sick to your stomach. And how do you guys cope with it? How do you guys handle it? You know, that's the question I have for you guys. Let me know. Let me know down in them comments, whether you're on Apple, Spotify, Podcast Addict, all those things. You know, how do you guys handle loss in sports? What is it that you guys do? Because for me, this is what I do. Is it sits with me for a week. I get irritated with it. And I do a lot of things. I do a lot of things that just are unhealthy. You know, like I'm downing Baja Blast for no fucking reason other than just to inflict damage to my organs. You know, so at least it's not me downing a bottle of whiskey every day, huh? You know, and if that's how some of you cope with your sporting disaster, it's okay. You know, I'm not mad at it, but you know, you might want to change it. don't want to be a fucking alcoholic. Let's get into this. The stories of the day. The three stories of the day. And if you hear some burps, it's because I'm full of Baja Blast. All right. This is 100% an American, 100% Fox News article here. The wildfire czars from Los Angeles, $500,000 paycheck for 90 days of work, draws blowback. And the mayor, Karen Bass, reverses course. No fucking shit. Karen Bass backtracked on Saturday amid reports that her wildfire recovery czar, Steve Soderbroof, would be compensated $500,000 for 90 days of work. The LA Times first reported Saturday morning that the real estate developer and longtime civic official would be paid $500,000 over the course of 3 months for working as the city's recovery officer. Oh, my. His compensation was to come from charity organizations, but Bass, who first tapped Soderbroof for the job on January 17th, quickly reversed course by Saturday evening, She said that he would now manage the rebuilding of the city free of charge. The quote here from her, she has said that he is always there for LA. I spoke to him today and asked him to modify his agreement and work for free. He said that he would. According to the Times, we agree that we don't need anything distracting from the recovery work that we are attempting to do. Another person, longtime real estate executive Randy Johnson, was to be compensated $250,000 from philanthropic groups for assisting Soboroff, but he would now be doing the job for free. On Johnson, she said that she was grateful for his generosity and expertise, but the mayor's office declined to name the charity organizations or clarify how the funding was to be raised. And of course, the Councilwoman of LA, Monica Rodriguez, a member of the five-person committee tasked with recovery, told the Times it was infuriating that philanthropic groups would pay two people $750,000, calling it obscene. He is getting paid $500,000 for 3 months of work. President Donald Trump's envoy for special missions, Rick Granelli, wrote on X of Soboroff, and they call this charity. This is offensive. And he also said, Granelli, who was seated next to Trump during the roundtable discussions of the Pacific Palisades last month, added, I'm getting paid zero, as are many people. It's a good thing there will be strings on the federal money for California. Larry Vine, a Pacific Palisades resident whose home suffered smoke damage, condemned the report of the compensation, saying no one should handle recovery efforts for financial gain. Steve Danton, who resides in a temporary apartment in Marina Del Rey after his home was destroyed, said that Soboroff's compensation is a money grab, adding that the city is experiencing a crisis of leadership. Soboroff previously served in volunteer roles for the Board of Police Commissioners and on the commission that oversees the Department of Recreation and Parks, defended the amount to the Times on Saturday. He said he has specialized expertise in taking on sweeping responsibilities, including communicating with federal agencies, and is giving up other real estate and environmental consulting work to become the recovery czar. Let's stop there for a second. Okay, so you have a fire, levels the place, and then you say you're not going to have any regulation or red tape to do the rebuild. But then you are caught, Karen Bass is caught with Gavin Newsom trying to, during the rebuild, implement low-income housing and bring down the value of the Pacific Palisades just so that we can have a diversity or equal or equitable living for all, right? And then you have the nerve to tell Donald Trump in a roundtable that it's not going to take 18 months for demolition and recovery or environmental things because we're removing all the permits and red tape. And this is all not going to cost the taxpayer anything. And we're going to do and what have you. And then you have the nerve to allocate $750,000 from charitable organizations to pay a guy to lead recovery efforts in terms of rebuild and whatever. And like, if this is not a display of bullshit leaders or bullshit decisions, if you will, however you want to say this, I don't know what the fuck is. This is madness and stupid. And then they try to justify the expense. You know, here's the quote from Soboroff himself. I've been doing this for 35 years for free on some of the biggest civic projects in the city of LA. But nobody ever asked me to drop everything. This time they did, he told the Times. And I said, okay, under the condition that my pay not be taken out of city money or from any wildfire survivors who would otherwise benefit from said money. What? Okay, so you've been doing this for 35 years and that somehow entitles you to money since you've been doing it for free in the past? Like, I don't look, if the apocalypse hit, you're always going to find a guy that's going to want to get paid. You know, it is what it is. At the end of the day, I'm doing the stuff that all these other people are just studying. I'm implementing to help people reach their goals of getting back in their homes and getting their jobs back. That is what Soboroff says he's doing. And you know what? I'm glad they got caught. And I'm glad that that money is not going to go to Soboroff and his fucking sidekick. I'm glad that these charities are coming to their senses, as you will. Or Karen Bass doing all this damage control because she's a fucking tard bot. Oh, my God. Okay, now the Democrats. You're up. USA Today. Democrats have got decisions to make. Donald Trump is moving swiftly. He is putting executive order after executive order after executive order. He is pausing government agencies for audits. He's putting in laws by way of executive order that are targeting certain positions, certain subjects, and taking certain positions on it that are just putting the Democrats constantly on their heels. So let's see. What would you do, right? What would you do if you're a Democrat? What would be your fucking go-to? Here's what they decided. They had a meeting. They huddled up. They closed the door. They had a talk. And they decided to do this. We are open to shutting down the entire government if we have to oppose Donald Trump's policies. Okay, here we go. Okay, let's get into this one. Congressional Democrats say they are open to shutting it down in March over Trump's administration's move to dismantle programs and agencies. Federal government funding expires March 14th to avoid a painful shutdown. Congress will need to pass more legislation because we can't do a yearly budget, folks. That would just be too fucking sensible. We're just going to continue to kick the can down the road because that's what we do here in America. And of course, since this is coming up in a few weeks, the Democrats are now, because they can't get in front of this onslaught of policy after policy and regulation after regulation that's being either implemented or dismantled, or we're not even going to talk about agencies being shuttered or audited or whatever. We can't get in front of or you know, stop any of this. It's coming so quickly. So our only go-to now is March 14th. We're not doing shit. We aren't passing anything. We aren't making anything. We are going to get in the way. We're going to filibuster the shit out of this. Fuck this. That's the idea, right? Is that how we're doing this now, guys? Is that how we're doing this? Really? You guys are going to lose all of your toys and like a fucking toddler, you're going to pout and pick up your ball and go home? Are you guys really that fucking childish? Like, what is happening in the Democratic Party? Like, what is going on with these guys? They don't know how to stop being children. I mean, your best bet, and I've said this many times on this show, you don't have control for at least 2 years. Your best bet is to play as much defense as you can, vote no as much as you can, and try to be that check, that other half. You can't really get in the way of executive orders unless you put them through the courts for legal challenges. We all know that's the only play you guys have. Every Republican and MAGA Republican, if you will, if you want to separate us, we know that's the only game, that's the only card, that's all you got. So, what? This is not going to help. Okay, I'm sorry that the USAID building has been shuttered for auditing. I'm sorry that they did find things that are questionable. I'm sorry, guys, that they have jumped into the Department of Education. And I'm sorry that they've attacked the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. I'm sorry that they've audited these buildings. I'm sorry that most of these agencies are created through executive order from past presidents, and he's able to reallocate the funds through executive order or through other ways of legislation. He's got all the cards. He can reshape the way government is handled. He certainly can. And the only avenue for Democrats is legal challenges. They can just find a judge that's willing to do something for them. And this is not going to help. And of course, the New Jersey Senator Andy Kim said they should not count on Democrats bailing out the Republicans for government funding. And basically, the Democrats aren't going to play ball anymore. They're just all going to vote in party line. And it's like, okay. He also says, if we have to take steps to be able to hold this administration accountable, use the leverage that we have to force it, I cannot support efforts that will continue this lawlessness that we are seeing when it comes to this administration's actions. Okay, dude, you're fine. You're fine. You nailed it. That's all you can do. But you're going to look stupid when it comes time to shutting the government down. If that's what you guys want to do. I mean, it's just weird to me because the Democrats have argued that several of Trump's actions have included dismantling U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, gutting the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and now rescinding directives on grants. He says they're all unconstitutional because they ignore congressional spending directions put into law through annual appropriation bills. That may be true, but I do believe... Now, again, guys, all you government guys that know more than me, please chime in the comments below. Correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't the president have the authority through the executive to reallocate some of this stuff? Isn't it not within his, isn't that one of his levers of power, or however you want to say it? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, obviously the Democrats are going to say anything that is going to benefit them. Obviously they're not going to sit there and go, oh, but he really can secretly, whoop, whoop. You know, I know that's not going to happen. That's just not what they do. And that's fine. But when asked to clarify whether he was open to voting to shutting down the government to make the point, Kim said he doesn't want it to come to that, but we are at a point where we are basically on the cusp of a constitutional crisis, seeing the administration taking steps that are so clearly illegal. This I have a problem with. If the agency was put together through executive order, it is not a congressional agency. It is not done through Congress. It is not created by the legislative branch. I honestly don't know why they think the president doesn't have the authority to pull the money and reallocate it somewhere as far from the executive branch. I believe he has that ability to do so. And if it's through executive order, he could absolutely undo it by executive order. That's the thing that I think is just weird, is this ambiguous smoke and mirrors bullshit coming from the Democratic Party. Is they continue to say it's illegal, but they don't exactly say why it's illegal. And that's the thing that I find weird. But, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm sure that they'll, I think they'll figure it out. I think at some point these guys are going to have to come to grips with it. And of course, the Republicans control the House 217 to 215, and they got the Senate 53 to 47. As far as passing it in the House, anything that needs to be passed through the House, they're going to need all 217 Republicans on board. We all know that's never happened. It's very rare that it happens. And there are Democrats who are going to stick together, and we know that it's going to become a shit show in the House, which is why Speaker Mike Johnson has said several times he's going to need bipartisan support for funding, but he's not going to get it. They're all going to dig their heels in on this. 53-47 in the Senate. They need a 60 vote threshold to bypass filibusters, which means Democrats are going to use that filibuster and they're just not going to let anything pass, which means you're going to get a big sludge of bullshit. But it's kind of weird. I don't know. It's just weird to me. Kim is one of several Democrats to indicate a willingness to let the government shut down if Republicans can't reassure them that their spending directives will actually be implemented. Senator Chris Murphy, a Democrat from Connecticut, said, "It's what is the point of a budget if the president's going to ignore it? It's a problem without a precedent. Democrats are arguing that the onus would be on the Republicans if a shutdown happens, because they hold the majority in both chambers. They're in charge. They have to work with us," Chuck Schumer says. Okay. Well, this is interesting from Chuck, because I do remember Chuck Schumer being in charge, and he let a lot of bills just sit because he wouldn't bring them to the floor for a vote. A lot of Republican-led bills. So we're going to talk about, well, they have to work with us, but yet you weren't willing to work with them for damn near 4 years. This is the thing that I hate about the Democrats. They talk a lot of shit, but then if you remember, they don't stick to what they say. They're very much a hypocritical fucking party, and it's pretty irritating. And we'll see where it goes. We'll see where it goes, and hopefully, I just hope that cooler heads prevail, basically. So, I'm going to drink a sip of the old Baja for a second. Okay. Newsweek, man. Florida is kicking people off of healthcare plans. 1.3 million. Now, let's find out why. Because I'm reading this. This is a story that I'm kind of reading first, reaction and all that. 1 million Floridians have had their health insurance revoked as a result of a nationwide disenrollment from coverage that was previously safeguarded as part of the COVID-19 pandemic response. Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program, or CHIP, has fallen from 5.1 million to 3.8 million between March of 2023 and October of 2024, according to healthcare research nonprofits and the Kaiser Family Foundation. While some people may be re-enrolled, transitioned to employer-sponsored plans, or search for coverage in the wider healthcare marketplace, the decline poses a risk to Florida's most vulnerable populations and underscores challenges in effectively communicating healthcare policies to the public. The Sunshine State lags behind the national average in terms of coverage, ranking fourth in the United States for the number of uninsured individuals under 65. All right, well, what do we need to know, says Newsweek. As part of the Family's First Coronavirus Response Act passed in March of 2020, the continuous enrollment provision required states to maintain coverage of Medicaid enrollees during the pandemic, eliminating the need for regular eligibility redeterminations. After the policy was discontinued in March of 2023, eligibility checks and disenrollment recommenced, resulting in massive losses of coverage for those either deemed ineligible or who were unable to renew their policies to complete their redeterminations as a result of delays or other difficulties. According to KFF, over 25 million people have been disenrolled as a result of the national unwinding process as of September 12th, while over 56 million had their coverage renewed over the same period. Basically, guys, this is This is basically computer snafus and certain rules dating back to the COVID deal. And Florida is, it seems to be singled out. I don't believe they're the only state that's doing this, but whatever, guys. Whatever. That's, I'm not going to dive into it. There are many states removing people based off of what happened with COVID. They're not allowed to be there for free anymore. They're being moved off. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that want to stay. It's no longer safe. It's no longer safeguards are gone, and you're going to have to, you know, basically enroll properly, pay the bill, do what you got to do, things like that. That's what that's all about. I don't have a problem with it. It could, because of this, guys, it's high time that the COVID thing is put to bed. There are many people clinging to COVID right now for a lot of things, you know, treatment for long COVID or staying within the drugs for COVID that they say they need or continue to need, and et cetera, because they don't want to get, they don't want to pay any, they don't want to pay for coverage. Well, 1.3 million people were chucked off of their healthcare plan in Florida based on these rules and these regulations that have to do with this COVID healthcare thing. And I don't have a problem with it. And if you guys do, by all means, you can write in the comments below, calling me an idiot, do what you got to do. And I have no issues with that whatsoever. Having said all that, guys, thank you all for listening. We're going to close Thursday just like that. Appreciate each and every one of you. Like the show, share the show, subscribe to the show. Leave a five-star review on your Apples, your Spotify's, Podcast Addicts. Later. I want to break your soul.